historians before these papers were released had pretty much come to a view that there was systematic torture which happened before independence, in the run-up to independence in 1963. And what these papers do is they really hit that home with enormous force, because a lot of the missing pictures and documents that were missing from the public record have now emerged in these documents. So the historians are ploughing through this material with teams of researchers in Harvard, in Oxford, in London, and they are all putting in statements in support of the claims, which will be heard late July of this year.
Maybe we can talk about some of the instances of torture. We have, for instance, an occasion where a man was actually roasted alive. Many of the Kikuyu tribe were kept in barbed wire compounds. There was the execution of 1,000 Mau Mau rebels. There was castration, sexual assault.
Yes, I mean, what's very important to say, firstly, is a lot of these people who were caught up in these detention camps and who were subjected to acts of torture had nothing or very little to do with the Mau Mau. So three of the four claimants who are putting forward their claims in the High Court in London were not actually Mau Mau members, but were suspected of being Mau Mau members, and that suspicion turned out to be wrong. Two of them were castrated with the use of pliers by a British Kenyan government official. There's medical evidence to prove that that is the case. The woman was subjected to appalling sexual abuse with glass bottle inserted into her private parts. Another man was beaten within an inch of his life, and 11 of his colleagues were killed in that incident, and that's documented. The government admit that happened. So these are acts of really appalling abuse and torture. These are elderly victims who are now coming to the British government and saying, look, this happened to us. We would like you to at least apologise to us. And that is something the British government are flatly refusing to do.
Some people have described the release of these documents as a kind of watershed moment, but in fact there were actually 3 tons of documents systematically destroyed, and in your case only a third of the documents have come to light. There are still apparently 13 boxes of secret files which are still missing.
We've called on the Foreign Office to renew their efforts to find these top secret files. They've put in a witness statement in court saying they simply cannot find the 13 top secret files to do with the Kenyan emergency. We find that very hard to believe. We don't necessarily say they're of bad faith, but we do say that they must be somewhere in the Foreign Office. It would be extraordinary if the Foreign Office simply mislaid the most secret documents it had relating to that period. So we, along with the Hands Up disclosure, which we commend the Foreign Office for disclosing now, we say that they must renew their efforts to find these documents.
As well as an apology, you're also looking for some kind of welfare fund to be set up to help the more than 1,000 alleged victims. I suppose that's the key concern of the British government. They're worried that doing this may set some kind of precedent for future legal challenges, especially given all of this evidence that's come to light.
We're very clear on that. We're lawyers, and we're in the business of deciding which cases are viable and which are not. And we've looked at a range of historical cases. We frankly didn't feel that the vast majority of them were viable, for the simple reason that you need to have surviving victims from that period to bring those cases. And the reality is there are very few surviving victims from these other areas, such as Malaya and Cyprus, who could bring similar cases. Second point is Kenya was exceptional in terms of the scale of abuse that happened. There was really nothing that even matched what happened in Kenya. And so we don't think the precedent issue is a very serious one. I mean, I think you're right in saying the Foreign Office is concerned about precedent. They're worried that this is going to be the first of many. But actually, when you dig down into the facts of the various cases, we don't think that fear is actually a tenable one.
It's quite clear with the release of these documents that there was systematic document culling. I suppose the British government probably feels now as if it was maybe preferable to have actually destroyed all of the documentation.
Well, that may well be the case. I can't really comment on that. The fact is they did retain some documents. And these are important historical records for future generations of Britons who want to know precisely what happened during the Empire. There's one history that's been painted in the past of the Empire, a history that I was taught at school when growing up, when actually these documents tell a rather different story.